Joining us on the phones now, Jordan M. Goodman, who's an attorney at Horwood, Marcus & Burke. He's also the co-chair of the firm's state and local tax group. And Jordan joins us to talk about the latest ruling with the sales tax, collecting sales taxes. Jordan, welcome to Legal Faceoff.
Thank you very much for having me. Interesting times for us.
It is. And Jordan, usually I'll say on Legal Faceoff, we don't cover tax law too much, but this is a case that is important because it actually affects us all directly in the pocketbook. Explain why.
Most of the remote sellers that we deal with today, the online sellers, generally don't collect tax if they don't have a store or some kind of physical presence in the state. Now, under this new ruling, it looks like almost all of them will be collecting tax. So our bills on things we buy online will be going up.
So this was a 5-4 decision by the Supreme Court. First of all, tell us, what the basis of the decision was, and also explain that you and your firm were involved in a case that is associated with this one. Explain all that for us, please.
Sure. So back in the 90s, this actually started as a catalog type question. Back before we had online or an internet, it was catalog question of whether catalogs being sent to the state would generate an obligation to collect tax. We were successful in a case called Quill v. North Dakota back in 1992, sustaining a 1967 decision that held the same thing. Since that time, since 1992, Congress has tried to pass laws to set some de minimis standards so smaller sellers, smaller catalog sellers wouldn't have this obligation, but putting the burden on everybody else. With the increase in e-commerce, online sellers, there's been tremendous pressure on Congress, budgetary concerns at the state level, lots of pressure to do it. South Dakota passed a law that established its own de minimis standards, 200 transactions or $100,000. So you can be a remote seller, let's just talk about online sellers, with no contact in South Dakota, but if you made more than 200 sales into the state or had over $100,000 of transactions into the state, of sales into the state, you now have to collect use tax from your customers. Now, I do have to clarify one thing. The tax has always been due. If I buy something online and it's not collected for me in Illinois, I always owe tax. But the compliance of people self-reporting is somewhere about 10%. And that's why the states were losing out on this revenue. If the out-of-state collector doesn't collect it and the in-state buyer doesn't pay it voluntarily to the state does not collect sales tax on it.
So I have a question. You raised a point about the de minimis sellers, which I find interesting. If the brick-and-mortar small shops with maybe less than $100,000 or $200,000 of business in a year, they have to collect the tax. Why is it an unfair burden to an online seller to collect that tax? Why not assess the burden to collect taxes across the board?
And that actually was the focus of Justice Kennedy's decision in this case. It said a long time ago, it was found that there would be a burden put on out-of-state sellers because they didn't get the benefits the state gave them. They weren't. So if I have a small store, I get police protection, I get fire protection, I have streets to drive on, and customers have parking lots, things that they get from an in-state presence that an out-of-state seller didn't benefit. And the question was it too big a burden on the outside seller? What's most interesting about this and what the court really said is that we made the wrong decision back in 1967. We confirmed the wrong decision in 1992. This never should have been the standard, and they rectified it here rather than waiting for Congress to come in and pass a law to do it. So you're 100% correct. And Justice Kennedy said it's unfair to be a remote seller now. You got such an advantage of not having to collect tax versus the local store, the mom-and-pop store located in the state.
So now we've got this new rule that online sellers have to collect and pay sales tax. How do states enforce that?
Well, through the audit process, just as they would for any out-of-state company, the departments of revenue in the various states have the ability to send them audit requests, to look at their books and records, to issue an assessment, and then if found to be owing the tax, to collect it just as you would any other obligation for an out-of-state company. So, they can send them a bill, and if they don't pay it, they can try to seize their assets located in the state via a bank account or some other property that they own, or they could try to enforce it in the home state of the out-of-state seller. And that's, there's ways to do that, and it's not an inexpensive way to do it, but the states have ratcheted up their ability to do it. And, you know, if you have a bank account anywhere and it's a national bank, there is an, you know, there's an ability to get the, your funds in the bank to pay the bill. So
like a lot of a lot of new civil procedure litigation and long-arm jurisdiction litigations coming down the pike.
Which Sussler loves, by the way. Nothing excites Sussler more than long-arm.
Civil procedure was one of my favorite classes first year of law school.
No, and this is going to be the biggest boom for the software industry, tax software industry, that I think that we've ever seen. Everybody's going to need to comply. There's thousands of different, you know, billing systems, and they're going to have to be adapted to a kind of a uniform way of collecting and keeping track of it. One of the arguments that the out-of-state sellers had is there's over 10,000 taxing jurisdictions in this country. And each one can impose a different rate, and you have to figure out what's being sold, what the rate is, and you and your neighbor may have different rates depending upon where you live in a taxing jurisdiction. So it's not an easy burden, and that's one of the questions of why this has been sustained for such a long time.
That's Jordan Goodman, attorney from Horwood, Marcus & Burke, hmblaw.com, to learn more. Thank you, Jordan. Appreciate the time.
Thanks, guys.